Prayer is what I want to talk about this morning. So if you have your scriptures this morning, open to Luke chapter 18. And he spake a parable unto them to this end, that men all ought always to pray and not to faint. There was in a city a judge which feared God, which feared not God, neither regarded man. And there was a widow in that city, and she came unto him, saying, Avenge me of my adversary. And he would not for a while, but afterward he saith within himself, Though I fear not God, nor regard man, yet because this widow troubleth me, I will avenge her, lest by her continual coming she weary me. And the Lord said, Hear what the unjust judge saith. And shall not God avenge his own elect, which cry day and night unto them, though he bear long with them? I tell you that he will avenge them speedily, lest when the Son of Man cometh, shall he, notice, nevertheless, when the Son of Man cometh, shall he find faith on the earth? That's a question that we need to ponder. And he spake this parable unto certain which trusted in themselves that they were righteous and despised others. Two men went up to the temple to pray, the one a Pharisee and the other a publican. The Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself, God, I thank thee that I'm not as other men are, extortioners and unjust and adulterers and even as this publican. I fast twice in the week. I give tithes to all that I possess. And the publican standing afar off would not lift his eyes to heaven, but smote upon his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. I tell you, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other. For everyone that exalteth himself shall be abased. And he that humbleth himself shall be exalted. And they brought unto him also infants, that he should touch them. But when his disciples saw it, they rebuked them. But Jesus called them unto him and said, Suffer little children to come unto me, and forbid them not, for such is the kingdom of God. Verily I say unto you, Whosoever shall not receive the kingdom of God as a little child shall in no wise enter therein. Now there is so much in these verses that I pray that the Lord will bless us as we endeavor to speak to you on these. First of all, these are all tied together, even to the, we stopped at verse 30 on Wednesday night, but if I get past these this morning, we'll be doing well. Notice it says that the purpose of this prayer, the purpose of the prayer in chapter 1 is that we should always pray and not faint. Always pray and not faint. I know that speaking from my own personal experience, that times I have felt so burdened about a certain thing and I just prayed and I prayed and it seems like that my prayers just didn't get very much higher than my head. And I just kept praying, and I just decided, well, the Lord's not hearing me. Sometimes He hears us, and sometimes He waits a while. And I thought about the children of Israel, the Hebrew children, as they were in Pharaoh's bondage in Egypt. How long were they there? They cried unto the Lord day and night. And it seemed, I'm sure, that they thought, well, the Lord will never come back again. He's clean forgotten about us. But they cried 400 years in Egypt. 400 years. The point in this is that this judge, now a judge is supposed to be one that is, I mean, if we looked at this judge, Brother Bill, you've probably seen, I hope we never see a judge like this, that doesn't have any regard for God or doesn't have any regard for men. But I believe that perhaps there are some that are in this condition. But a judge is supposed to have regard for God and for men. This judge, he did not have any, he didn't care about God. I figure probably he must have, I don't know how, you know, you question how in the world that man ever get in office. He doesn't care about nothing but himself, and he's probably being paid off by some of these people. And this little widow, she didn't have any money to pay him with, so he was ignoring her. And so when she just kept coming and kept coming and kept coming, she had a great need. Prayer is something that we approach God with because we have need of something. And when she kept coming, and he just kept ignoring her. I have in my mind that she probably just maybe camped out on his back door or in his front doorstep. And every time he'd open the door, she'd say, "Judge, sir, avenge me of my adversary." If you go back and you look at the way the Pharisees and the way that the widows during that time were treated, widows, they had no husband. And apparently this widow, you know, it says in one place, even goes down to the nephews, Brother Tom, that they are supposed to take care of those in their own household. He said, "He that hath, that will not take care of his own house, hath denied the faith and is worse than an infidel." And he goes all the way down to nephews. Well, apparently this woman didn't have any grandchildren. She didn't have any children. She didn't have any nephews. And all she had was this unjust judge. And perhaps, you know, in one place in Matthew 23, it says these people, he says, "Woe unto you hypocrites and you Pharisees, because you go in and you make merchandise of the widow's houses and take away their livelihood." So this woman perhaps had been, her husband has died, she doesn't have anything left. They've come and they've taken it away, and unjustly perhaps taken away. And in order for this judge to hear her, he's got to correct the wrong. And he may be on the take of the one that took her money or took whatever it is. But he didn't care about her and he didn't care about God. But she just kept on coming, kept on coming. Maybe show up in the marketplace out there and show up and say, "Sir, avenge me of my adversary." And he wouldn't do it. But finally, he got tired of her coming. And she was just worrying him to death. And he didn't care about her, but he says, "Because of her continual coming, I will avenge her." And the word "avenge" there doesn't mean revenge. God takes vengeance on those we're not to take vengeance. God, the vengeance belongs to the Lord. But if there's an injustice that's being done, especially to this young, to this widow, she wanted justice. She wanted the wrong corrected. And nobody would help her. But he says, because of her continual coming, he took care of it. Now, here it says, "Hear what the unjust judge saith." What did he say? He said, "Because of her continual coming." The lesson here in this prayer, in this parable, is persistence. It is continual perseverance in prayer. You know, the Apostle Paul, he says in Thessalonians, he says, in all things, give thanks. In all things, give thanks. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. And give thanks. And he says, pray without ceasing. Pray without ceasing. Now, you say, well, how can we be praying all the time? We can have the attitude of prayer all the time. And that's what the next one is about. That's what the next parable is about, is our attitude toward God in our prayers. And it says, shall not God avenge his own elect? God is not like this unjust judge. He is not a terrible taskmaster. He is not one that just does things for meanness. And that judge, he didn't care about her and he didn't care about God. But she got his attention by her continual perseverance in her coming to him. And this is the lesson in this for us, is that when we have a need, and we say, well, the Lord has not heard me, we should stay at our altar and stay there until we find an answer. Sometimes we get upset with God. Do you ever get angry with God over something? Because he didn't give you what you wanted? You know, God is not there as some kind of magical genie that just you can rub something and he comes and gives you your wishes. God is not a Santa Claus up in heaven, but he gives us the things that we need at the time that we need them. Now, one of the things that I've found out about my grandchildren is I spoil them. You know, my little granddaughter, I told her, I said, you're spoiled rotten. She says, I know it, Papa, and I like it. But that's the way we are as grandchildren. God kind of spoils us too sometimes. But sometimes he says, you know, there's three answers that the Lord can give us. He says, no. No, I'm not going to grant your request. Sometimes he says, maybe. And sometimes he says, not right now. But the point here in all of this is that we need to be continually persistent in our prayers and not give up. You keep praying until you know that you have the answer that God wants you to have. And sometimes it may not even be in this life. Did you understand that we pray and we pray and we pray? You know, I prayed for my brothers, my brother Leo and my brother Dale, and I prayed for brother Doyle and different ones, that the Lord would heal them. And Brother Charlie, I pray the Lord would help brother, be with Brother Charlie. And here I prayed for Brother Billy Tyson, and here he is back with us again. You see, sometimes he heals here. Sometimes he heals there. He is not a person that you can dictate things to. You can't demand anything of God, and you come to him continually seeking his will. He says, we are to pray, Father, thy will be done. Not my will. Are we willing to pray, Father, give me my will? Is that what we want? We want our will to be done, don't we? We want God to grant our will. Not, Father, thy will, but my will. And when we don't get what we want, we get mad at the Lord. Well, you say, Brother Allen, I don't. Well, sometimes I do. I'm going to be honest with you this morning. There's times when I have been disappointed because I didn't think God answered me in the way I wanted him to answer me. Now, the next part of this, the first parable deals with our perseverance in prayer, continually seeking the Lord's will in our life. Do you have a need? Is it a great need? Is it a need? You see, God is not an unjust judge. He says over in Deuteronomy chapter 32, he says, he is the rock. His work is perfect. All of his ways are judgment. He's a God of truth without iniquity. So everything that God does is just and it's right. And when we come to the point in our lives that we recognize that everything that God does is right and it's just, and we should be able to say, Lord, I accept your will in this matter. So here he says, now he says, I tell you that he will avenge them speedily. I don't think the word speedily there means immediately. But sometimes when we've prayed and we've prayed and we just continually go to the Lord and we're just about ready to give up, it comes. Do we understand that God knows everything about us? You say, yeah, he knows all of our needs. But you see, he also says that we're to ask in faith. Nothing wavering. Brother Bill has spoke to us about this many times in the book of James. But when we look over there in the book of James, in the first chapter, if I can find that. He says, if any man lack wisdom, let him ask of God that giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. God doesn't upbraid us. He doesn't do things just to be mean like this old judge. He loves us. But he says, we are to ask in faith. Brother Randy has spoken to us many times about what faith does and how it moves. Our faith is that which sometimes we pray for and we ask for something, but we really don't believe we're going to get it. Ask in faith, nothing wavering. For he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea, driven with the wind and tossed. This is the lesson in this prayer. Don't waver. For let not that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord. A double-minded man is unstable in all of his ways. So, double-minded, what's double-minded? In this sense, it means asking God for something, but really in deep down in your heart, you don't believe you're going to get it. Well, he says, guess what? If you ask wavering, if you pray to God and you don't pray in faith, he said, guess what? You're not going to get it. Do you believe? When you pray, do you believe you're going to get it? He says, we're supposed to. Anyway, then we find the attitude of prayer being discussed in this next parable. You've heard this preached on a lot, I'm sure. He spake this parable unto certain which trusted in themselves that they were righteous. Now, have you ever met anybody like this? That they always was trying to correct you. They never admit that they ever did wrong. They always are talking. You know, when somebody is criticizing you or somebody else, they're making themselves look good. That's how we can do that. We can, if I can talk down and make people think about that you're down, that you're a scoundrel, and I can talk about you and I can talk, but I never get to the point where I admit that I am doing anything. It's always somebody else's fault. I didn't do nothing. Deny, 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 deny. Never admit you've done anything. Just keep on denying it. And you know, if you keep on denying it, maybe before long it'll be true. That's what somebody thinks. But you know, the Lord said, be sure your sins will find you out. He said, David said, if I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. So the point in these verses first of all, it says, two men, where'd they go? They went up to the temple. That's the place of prayer, right? They both went to the right place. You know, we don't have to come over here to the church to pray. You know, there is people that think that this place is that. Well, Jesus said, my house should be called the house of prayer. But in another place, he says, when you pray, go into your closet. Shut the door and pray to the Lord in secret. You see, there is public prayers that's taught. But the greatest prayer of, I'm not sure that anybody heard this one man's prayer except God. But notice now, I'm getting bogged down. Now notice it says, the Pharisee stood and prayed with himself. He prayed with himself. I want you to think about that. His prayers to men. What is prayer anyway? What does prayer mean? Conversation with God? Where does prayer come from? You know, does the prayer come out of your brain or out of your heart? You see, this man had all the right, he felt like he was saying all the right things. It was a long prayer. But he wasn't praying to God. He was praying to himself. Bragging on all the things that he had. And the attention was not to himself, but to others. He was bragging on all the things that he's done. You know, there's another place over in Matthew 6, the Lord said, don't be like those people that like to stand out on the street corners and make long prayers and tell people how good they are. He says, I fast twice in the week and I give tithes to all that I possess. And the publican, I want you to notice this, the publican standing afar off. The Pharisee probably went right up to the very front and to the altar there and was making his pious prayer. But the publican, now I want you to see the difference in these two guys. The Pharisee was the one that everybody accepted as the religious elite. The Pharisee was one that was always doing right in the eyes of a lot of folks. They were the ones that was the religious. They knew the laws and they knew all the things and they were just always correct in their religious worship services. But the publican, he was a tax collector. You know how people don't like the IRS, do they? I mean, they just cuss and they blame and they do all the things to these guys and they're just the most despicable piece of people in the world, and they probably are just worse than the dust. A lot of them, they extracted money from the poor that was unjust. They had a bad reputation among the people. But here is this publican recognizing, and I want you to understand something else. This man was convicted of his wrong. He was not over here telling somebody else about what somebody else did. He was totally convicted of his sin. Whatever it was, whatever the worst thing this man did was the Pharisee's attitude was worse than his. The publican standing afar off would not lift so much as his eyes into heaven, but smote upon his breast, felt unworthy to even look up to heaven. You know what the sinner's prayer is? Did you ever pray the sinner's prayer? Did you ever pray that God would be merciful to you as a sinner? You know, there's a sense in which we as the church, Brother Bill, we'll talk about how that we believe by nature we're sinners, don't we? We believe that we by nature are just as depraved as ever could be. And we'll talk in a general sense. But how many of us will specifically come to God in the sense and say, I have sinned? Me. Not you, me. I like to, sometimes we like to acquaint people with all the faults of others. But what about me? Brother Bill and I have that little saying. I said, well, you're this and this. He said, yeah, but what about me? What about you? You're so-and-so. But what about me? What about you? You see, this man was not, he was not here concerned about the sins of the Pharisee, which he didn't have any, right? In his own eyes. Did we have one righteous man here and one unworthy sinner that was coming to this temple? In the eyes of this Pharisee, that's the way it was. The Pharisee had no sins to confess. Now, I want you to notice something very special in this prayer. I tell you, this man, who's the this man? this man, who is the publican? This man went down to his house justified rather than the other. What was it that the publican received that the Pharisee did not? What's the answer? We talked about this, Sister Jeanette, in our Bible study. What did the publican get that the Pharisee missed? Is the word justified is used? I mean, the word justification is a big, huge term. Brother Bill and I talked about this. He preached on it. Several different times. He preached everywhere I went. Bill preached on justification. I said, man, I hope you get that right one of these days. Well, justification means simply to declare righteous.
Not to make righteous, but to declare righteous. And there is only one way that you and I can stand before the throne room of God and find ourselves to be righteous and to be declared not guilty and to have God put our sins away, and that is by the blood of our Lord Jesus Christ. There's only one way we'll stand before God, just before Him. But brethren, there is a justification that you and I can have. There's another justification, which is in our mind, in our conscience, in that, and this man, this is what he received. He went down to his house in peace, knowing that God had put his sins away. When he went there, he was guilt ridden. He was feeling so bad and so terrible because of the sin that he had done. He knew what he had done. And you know, there is a sense in which every one of us should know what our sins is if we're willing to admit it to ourselves. You see, in order for our sins to be forgiven, we got to admit it to ourselves first. Unless you're willing to admit that you're a sinner, you're not going to pray the sinner's prayer. The sinner's prayer is, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. The man recognized that he was a sinner. The Pharisee, he wasn't a sinner. He was righteous in his own eyes. Now, some of us in our areas, we want to. What is a pharisaical attitude? Do we ever find ourselves with that? Have you ever had an attitude of a Pharisee? I'm not going to make you raise your hand, but I think you need to answer the question to yourself and to the Lord. Have you ever felt like that you was better than somebody else? Have you ever talked to somebody about somebody else before you went and talked to them? Are you carrying grudges? Is anybody here that has a sin in your life that you're hiding? Do you know that God knows about it already? And when we come to the point in our lives where we admit it, then we're going to be justified. In our heart and our mind, we're going to go down to our house in peace. But not until. You see, this is a fundamental principle set forth not only by Jesus, but by the apostles. Now notice what John says. If we say, now, and this is in 1 John chapter 1, if we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, listen to me, the blood of Jesus Christ cleanseth us. You see, the blood of Jesus is a continual flowing cleansing element. It's not a one-time thing. Oh yes, I understand that eternally our sins have been removed. There is no sin on our account. But brothers and sisters, we're not there yet. We're still here. And we've got to deal with our lives. And we've got to deal with things in our lives. Now, if we say we have fellowship with Him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses us from all sins. If we say that we have no sin, let that one sink in a little while. You say, well, I don't have anything to confess. Have you searched deep enough? If we say that we have no sin, we're just like that guy, that we don't have anything to confess today. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves. You see, if you say, I don't have any sin. You know, I had a guy out at work one time. He said, I haven't sinned since this day and this day. And I said, brother, the Lord says if you say you don't have any sins, you're a liar. He said, you call me a liar? I said, no, the Lord is. It's not me calling you a liar. The scripture says if you say that you have no sin, the truth's not in you. But here's the key.
If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins. And this is what the publican got. This is what he received. The cleansing us from all unrighteousness. He got up from that prayer, walked down to his house guilt-free. Because God justified. That's what justification means, to declare righteous, to declare in conformity to the law. If you confess your sins and you put them on Lord Jesus Christ and He forgives you our sins, He said, if we say that we have not sinned, we make Him a liar and His word's not in us. So let's be honest today. Let's confess our faults. It says we confess our faults one to another. It didn't say confess your sins one to another. We know that we have faults. We know that we mess up. We know. And when we do something like that, we need to go to our brother and say, "Brother Tom, I really messed up." And I've never found this guy to say, "Well, you scoundrel, don't you ever do that to me again." He's so kind and hearted. And this is the attitude of somebody that is conscious of their standing before God. Now notice he says, "My little children." My little children, so tender and kind to us. My little children, these things write unto you that you sin not. He said, I'm writing these things unto you that you don't sin. You know, the Apostle Paul said it like this. He says, when I would do good, evil is present with me. I find that in myself, when I would do good, evil is present. I want to do good, but I find myself doing bad. I find myself, every time I confess my sins to God, it seems like I just have to do it again the next day. And it seems like I just never get it done exactly right. You say, well, I did that yesterday. Don't need any more today. Well, brethren and sisters, you're a little better than me then, because I need it every day. That's why Brother Tommy says, be persistent in your prayers. Keep on coming. Keep on coming. Don't ever stop praying to the Lord. And notice it says, these, I don't want you to sin. Our goal is to be perfect. You know, Brother Bill, I said that over there one time. He said, the Lord says, be perfect for I'm perfect. The guy said, you know you can't be perfect. You know, why'd you say that? You know you can't be perfect. I said, that's right. I know it. Do you know you can't be perfect? The Pharisee didn't know that, Brother Bill. He thought he could be perfect. But do you know you can't be perfect? But the Lord said, be perfect. That's your goal. And He didn't say be 99.9% perfect. He said, be perfect. That's the goal. But you see, we fail because of the sin in our nature. The Apostle Paul said, all wretched man that I am. Can you say that this morning? Oh, wretched man. Can we sing Amazing Grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me? If any man sin, if any man sin, I want you to see the remedy for this. If any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous. He is there as our go-between. He is there pleading our case. It says that sometimes it says we don't know what to pray for or how to pray. But what was the sinner's prayer? Wasn't a long old prayer. He just said, God, be merciful to me, sinner. You know, in order for you to pray that prayer, you've got to recognize some things in your life. And I started to turn to Psalms 51. Brother Bill, I'm not going to do that. I want you to come. I'm going to keep on going if you don't come on. Come on up. I want you to come. Time's up, brother. Your time's up. David, go and read Psalms 51.
David knew he was a sinner.
Well, since Bill ain't coming, I'm going to read just a couple of those verses. Notice what he's praying for, not justice. Have mercy upon me, O God, according to thy loving.
This is the way we approach our God.
Have mercy upon me, O God, according to thy loving kindness.
Not according to the unjust judge, the way he acted, but according to thy loving kindness, according unto the multitude of thy tender mercies, blot out my transgression. You know what that means, blot it out? That's what, Jeanette, that's what happened. That's what happened to the publican. His sins was blotted out. Gone.
That's the only way. That's the only way you can get up from there, Brother Tom, and go have peace in your heart, is to know that God has taken away, and he says if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us. But brethren and sisters, there's also another side to that coin. He says, do you know that you have any ought against your brother? He said, you want me to forgive you? Don't ask me to forgive you if you're not willing to forgive your brother. He said, if you forgive not your brother, then neither will I forgive you. That should be pretty serious stuff, isn't it? To know that God holds our sins to us just like we do from somebody else. Let us search our hearts. David said, Lord, cleanse me. Cleanse me. Make me to hear your voice again. Brothers and sisters, this sermon this morning, this prayer, these messages that I have tried to speak to you about is so personal to me. And I hope it will be to you. Because I have experienced being out of the fellowship of the Lord. That's why he says to the brethren, he says, seeing that we are encompassed about by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us. You see, I know what mine is, and the Lord knows what my sin is. There is a sin that easily, so there is one, you may not want to admit it, but there is something in your life that causes you more trouble than anything else. I have it. I know what mine is. The Lord knows what it is. And I fight it all the time. You say, what bad thing you done, Brother Allen? I'm not telling you. You see, the Lord knows what mine is, and he knows what yours is. And my point is, it's time to fess up, brothers and sisters. It's time to seek his will in our life and follow him in the ways that he would have you to go. Taking up your cross and following him in obedience. May the Lord bless you this morning is our prayer.